I'm going to ask you to turn again to Leviticus 17, and we intended last week to finish up this study, but on this particular aspect of our journey along with the nation of Israel. We read in Romans 15 that the things that were written in the past that are in Scripture, we've been singing about the Bible this morning, the things that were written for our learning. And I know if you've been here for this study, you might be tired of hearing that. I hope not. But it's a reminder that this all is for our benefit, that we might learn, apply it to our lives today. And just as the nation of Israel was on a journey from Egypt to Canaan, so those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are also on a journey. And God has many wonderful lessons for us to learn. Many of you are familiar with the work of the Gideons. We about once a year have one of the Gideons come and share their ministry with us. And we have some Gideons here in our meeting who are in fellowship here. And of course, they distribute Bibles. Many of us have at some point in our lives received a Bible from the Gideon ministry. They put Bibles in hotels and motels. In the past, I hope maybe they're still able to give them out at some schools. They give them put hospitals, give them to graduating nurses, and they give them to the military. The one that, at least in the past, they would give to the military was a pearl-white New Testament. And those pearl-white New Testaments were distributed to the Pacific Fleet of the United States Navy prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. An evangelist was speaking one evening, and he was sharing with them concerning military evangelism, and during the speech he pulled out his own copy of that Pearl White Pacific Fleet New Testament. And following the meeting that evening, a member of the audience waited around, and he wanted to show the evangelist another copy of that Pearl White New Testament. It was one that had been given to this man's son prior to the bombing there of that Hawaiian base. And this white New Testament that this man had of his sons was stained with blood. And as the man showed it to the evangelist, the man said, "You know, this little book is very precious. It's stained with the blood of my son." The evangelist, Harry Rimmer, paused for a moment and he held up his little Bible. And he said, "You know what? God feels the same way about that book. He loves it too, and its pages are stained with the blood of his son." And isn't it true, as we go through the Word of God, wherever we are in Scripture, whether we're in the Old Testament, whether we're looking through some of those prophets difficult to find and sometimes difficult to understand, whether we're in the New Testament, wherever we are in the Scripture, we can find the Lord Jesus, the one who shed his blood, gave his blood for us. It's on every page. We're going to read again this morning from Leviticus chapter 17, a chapter that we've seen is about blood. And we're going to start in verse 10 again, and I just ask you to follow along with me as we read here. As God, through Moses, gives instruction, again, particularly for the nation of Israel at that time, but again, it's written for our learning. Verse 10, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." The life of the flesh is in the blood. We have seen how that is true. The medical profession understands that clearly. We have seen that in other ways down through the years they have approached illness in a variety of ways, but thankfully now, even though there is much more that can always be learned, I'm sure, about the human body because it's made by God, but the importance of the blood and the circulation of the blood in your human body is clearly established, and we're thankful that the medical profession today applies that truth. And we've been considering, as we have come off of what God said here about the blood, we have been considering that as God did so, it was not so much the blood of those animals, or even though God is so concerned with the sanctity of life, for He creates every life, and the life of the flesh is in the blood, but beyond that, God had a greater picture in mind when He had this written. Because He was thinking of the blood of His Son, of the blood that stains every page of the Bible in that figurative sense. It's there all through the Bible, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we read here and have read for the last several weeks when we've been together on this. We've read there at the end of verse 11 that when God says the life of the flesh is in the blood, He says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And we've not really addressed that issue particularly. We've been going on to the New Testament, which we'll do again this morning. As we see God opening up for us the beauty of the blood of His Son. But notice here that He told the people of Israel, you're not to eat any blood because the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given you that blood on the altar. Remember, we've already studied how the animals will be taken, animals, specific ones, God said, for a variety of offenses, and those animals' blood would be taken from their bodies. And as their blood came out, so their life came out, right? They were giving their lives as their blood was shed because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said, I'm giving you that blood for an atonement. Now, if you look back in the Hebrew, the word for atonement, this translated atonement here in the English, it literally means a covering. I have given you the blood of these animals, God is saying, as a covering for your sins. God said, I'm going to cover over the evil, wicked things you do if you by faith come to me in the way that I tell you to come, through a spotless sacrifice of my choosing. And if you will come by the way of that blood, then your sins will be covered over. But we've been seeing, as we've gone to the New Testament, that when the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world comes, and came, the Lord Jesus, He didn't come to shed His blood that He might cover over your sins, but rather, as John the baptizer said when he saw Him, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm going to really encourage you to come back tonight. If you were here last Sunday night, I believe you'll be here again tonight because you appreciated, I feel sure, the DVD that we saw on the judgment seat of Christ. And tonight will be no exception. You'll appreciate it. If you weren't here last week, there's a good review at the very beginning. You'll catch right back up. But one thing that the fella says repeatedly throughout is that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered his sins. Well, there's a sense in which the blood of Jesus Christ has covered our sins, but the reality of it, the bottom line of it, the truth of it, the relevance of it, is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, takes away our sin. You see, the blood of these animals covered over until. The blood of the animal sacrifice is covered over the sins until the true Lamb came. There was only one whose blood could take away our sins and remove them as far as the east is from the West. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus. The one who came and shared in our blood, flesh and blood, he took it on himself. He became one of us and yet continued to be God that he might be that bridge between God and man. The one who shed his blood freely on the cross. He said, nobody takes my life from me. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Therefore, nobody takes my blood from me. The Lord Jesus could have said, he gave it up willingly. He chose to give his blood, to shed his blood for us. The Bible tells us that he was raised again by his blood, and he entered into heaven by his blood. And now the Word of God opens up for us the reality that that blood, which is personally his, the Lord Jesus said, my blood, that blood is a pure blood, for he is sinless, he is spotless, he is God in the flesh. And because of the purity of that blood that is his, we've seen that that blood is precious. And last Sunday morning, we began to consider the truth that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this pure and precious blood, is powerful. Powerful. We know a little bit about power in our own lives. We know a little bit about power in our own culture. We live in what is probably in the minds of most people in the world today who have any understanding of any kind of measure of power. We live in the most powerful country in the world. Now, there are those who won't admit that. But if they're objective, they will see we live in the most powerful country in the world. But you know, the power of the United States, militarily, economically, governmentally, socially, in any way, is nothing compared to the greatest power that the universe has ever known, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's the blood of God, who is all-powerful. He is the omnipotent one. We've already seen, and I'll ask you to be turning, if you will, in your Bible, if I could get you to turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and as you turn, I'll just remind you what we considered last week about the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and considering some of the effects of the power of His blood and its ability, it's able to revive you from spiritual death. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ is able to give us eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, and of course that means applying it to our lives spiritually, has eternal life. The blood of the Lord Jesus is powerful enough to satisfy God's anger against you because of your sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus is powerful enough to forgive you of your sins, yes, to send them away. The blood of the Lord Jesus is powerful enough to justify you before God, to make you who are not right, me who am not right, to make us right in the sight of God who is perfect and who knows everything and is powerful enough to reconcile us. We were far from God because of our sins, and yet the blood of the Lord Jesus makes peace, and the blood of the Lord Jesus brings us to God by faith. And now we want to consider another power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is so powerful that it can redeem you from your sins. It can purchase you. Notice what song is sung in heaven. We see it in verse 9 of Revelation 5. They're there singing a new song, the Bible says. And they sung a new song saying, thou, speaking of the Lord Jesus, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That beautiful picture of that heavenly chorus. And when we get there, we're all going to be able to sing perfectly, by the way. That's another blessing of being in heaven. We're going to be able to sing perfectly. And we're going to be able to sing praises to the Lord Jesus in the way that we long to now, those of us who know Him. And we're going to be able to sing of His worthiness. We worship Him here, and we should, because He is worthy. We declare His value, His preciousness when we worship Him and sing songs to Him. But in that day, we're going to be able to sing. We're going to be able to sing of His worthiness to open that book and to open the seals of that book as the Lord Jesus is going to judge this earth rightfully for its rebellion against Him, its rejection of Him. There's going to be a song being sung, a song of His redemption. You have redeemed us. You have gone into the marketplace to purchase us to God by your blood. That's the Lord Jesus. And His blood is so powerful that though you are enslaved in sin, though you may be wrapped up in sin, and though you may not even realize the stranglehold that sin has upon your life, still the blood of the Lord Jesus is powerful enough to come and to purchase us out of that slavery, to redeem us, as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 7, to redeem us through His blood. And there in Ephesians 1, 7, we have a word for redeem that speaks not only, as we have here in Revelation 5, a word which means to go down into the marketplace, specifically the slave market, and to buy out that slave, to purchase that slave, to give that slave freedom. Freedom from sin. That is God's design and desire. And He did so through the blood of His Son and the Lord Jesus, who called Himself the Son of Man. He said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom. The price for redeeming. He has given His life as a ransom for many. That's Mark 10, 45. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. The Lord Jesus said of Himself in Mark chapter 10 that He came to give His life as the purchase price. He said, I'm giving my life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter reminds us in verse 18, he's speaking here to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can listen from far away from God, and they can hear these words, and God can use these words to cause their heart to say, I want that. That's what's happened to each one of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And here are the words that Peter writes by the Holy Spirit of God. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your empty manner of life, your empty lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so much of what we considered of the blood of the Lord Jesus comes together right here in these two verses, doesn't it? That precious blood of the Lord Jesus, the spotless one, the sinless one. His blood is the redeeming price. The Lord Jesus said, I come to give my life. And Peter says He gave His life because He gave His blood. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, when the Confederate States of America began to issue money in circulation back in April of 1861, when the Confederacy was just 2 months old, that currency was accepted throughout the South as a medium of exchange. It had high purchasing power. But as the Civil War progressed, and confidence in the ultimate success of the Confederacy began to wane, the amount of that paper money increased, and the dates of redemption were extended further into the future, and the inevitable result of that was a depreciation of that currency. By the end of the Civil War, a cake of soap could sell as much as 50 Confederate dollars. An ordinary suit of clothes would cost you in Confederate money, currency, $2,700. It was losing its value. And near the end of the war, that currency became practically worthless. as a medium of exchange. And when the Confederacy ceased to exist as a political entity, that currency had no value whatsoever as a medium of exchange. And you see, the currency and the value of the currency makes the difference, doesn't it? You go in to buy a bar of soap with Confederate money, it's not just going to cost you $50. They're going to say, that's no good. That money's not acceptable. You need the right currency if you're going to make the purchase. And so it is with us in the slave market of sin. That God says, if the purchase is going to be made, if that person is going to be bought out of that condition of slavery and set free, then the right currency must be offered. And it was not with corruptible things, Peter tells us. It wasn't with temporary things. No matter how much silver, how much gold you have, no matter how many millions or billions or trillions of American dollars or any other type of currency in this world, it won't do it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that is the currency that God accepts. And the Lord Jesus said, I will buy them. I will purchase them. And I not only will purchase them and bring them out of the slave market, when I get them out, I'm going to set them free. Free from that sin that has bound them. Free from that sin that brought them under the condemnation of God, who is holy and righteous and just. And those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior by faith, we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been purchased out of that. Do we still struggle with sin? Yes, we do. In a practical sense, the temptation is still there. We'll get to that in just a moment. But positionally before God, He sees us as purchased out of that slave market, set free from our sin. But we need to remember that when He made that purchase and He set us free, it wasn't a freedom to go do what we want to do. Because we read in Acts 20:28, a verse that we've already considered in this study earlier, where Paul reminds us that God has purchased the church with His own blood. And the thought of the Greek word there for purchase is the idea of purchasing for Himself. He purchased us for Himself with His own blood. He poured that blood out that we might come to Him and belong to Him. And that we might no longer live for ourselves. We were doing that while we were in the slave market of sin. We thought we were free, but in reality, we were in bondage. But the Lord Jesus has freed us. And only by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ could that freedom be experienced. But not only did the blood of the Lord Jesus redeem us from sin, but it also sanctified us. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13. We're pretty close. Go back a couple of books here. Start singing the song there. Hebrews and them James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. You got that still in your mind. Hebrews, the very last chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And here the writer of the Hebrews, again by the Spirit of God. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God, is breathed out by God, not by the human writers, but God used them as His agents. But we find here that he is writing and he's referring back again to all these animals that have been sacrificed throughout the Old Testament. And notice down in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 13. He says, for the bodies of those beasts, those animals, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin. Again, brought into that most holy place. We've looked at the tabernacle and that holy of holies. Those bodies are burned without the camp, outside the camp. And here's the picture in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. They condemned Him in the city of Jerusalem and then took Him outside, led Him outside of those city gates to Golgotha, to Calvary, where they crucified Him, where they put nails through His hands and His feet and hung Him there with a crown of thorns piercing His brow, His back ripped apart, like a plowed field, blood coming from his body, it desperately seeking to clot there, to coagulate, dried blood on him, fresh blood on him. He was hanging there, and we read here that he was doing that we might be sanctified, that we might be made holy, that we might be set apart for God and his use. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I, those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, we have been made available to be used by God. He has set us apart for his use. You might think about your own life, and you might think about your own heart, and you might say, he couldn't use me. I'm not much of a usable vessel. But by the blood of the Lord Jesus, not only are we made available for his use, but we're made acceptable for his use. He qualifies us to be used by him. And yes, there are things that we can do. There are choices that we make that can disqualify us for certain service in the work of God. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're forgiven of our sins, we are set apart for his use, and he qualifies us to be used in some way, the ways of his choosing, for his glory, in a way that will, at that bema, that judgment seat of Christ, will result in us hearing that we've received a reward that we can give back to him. The Lord Jesus, his blood, has been able to take you and me, those of us who were filthy in sin, unqualified to ever be used of God. He said, I'm going to use you for my glory because you've come to me through the blood of my Son. And that brings us to another point that I'd like to make in the book of 1 John. Go toward the end of the Bible again, a couple of books. 1 John chapter 1, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is also powerful, so powerful, that it cleanses you from sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 is where we'll begin. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible speaks of a cleaning agent that will clean the filth of sin. Will clean it from our hearts. Can even clean it from our minds. Can clean it from our very lives. You know, when I was in the hardware business, we sold Simple Green. It was a good cleaner. And we sold the Orange Gojo Professional Formula Hand Cleaner. Good stuff. But you know, the green and the orange and any other color couldn't get rid of the stain of sin. But there is a red cleanser. A divine red cleanser. That though nothing in this world will get the stain out, nothing in this world will cleanse it away, that divine red cleanser, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Bible tells us cleanses us from all sin. And when we come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus, he said, your sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. I'll remove them from you. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus, and we know that we continue to battle against sin and to struggle against sin, but when we do sin, and I believe he's writing 1 John here again to believers, and we will sin, and when we do sin, we can confess that sin to God. And when that fellowship with God is broken, not the relationship, nothing can pluck us out of the hands of the Lord Jesus and of God the Father. But when we sin against God and that fellowship is broken, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And God is just. He's righteous in saying, you're righteous in my sight because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, down in Peru, there was a time when they were trying to deal with their nation's filthiest streets there in that South American country. And what they would do, they would put up along the walls, along these streets, they would put up pictures. It was a picture. Of course, nobody knows what the Lord Jesus looks like, but it was a picture of what artists presume the Lord Jesus looked like. And they were hoping that by putting these pictures of Jesus up there, that it would shame people into wanting to keep things clean and neat and not throw down litter and trash. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if just a picture of the Lord Jesus could cleanse sin? You know, that's what all those animals were that were sacrificed in the Old Testament. They were just pictures. And those pictures could never wash away sin. They could cover over sin, but they could never wash it away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, could do that. Could wash our sins away. And how thankful we are that Hebrews 9:14 tells us that the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, shall purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not only does it wash away our sin in the sight of God and to give us victory over sin, but it actually cleanses our consciences. The guilt of our consciences can be cleansed from all the evil that we have done, the wickedness of our minds and our hearts, as well as our hands and feet, of our eyes and our mouths, can be cleansed. And we can know the forgiveness of God, that He no longer holds that against us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse our very consciences. And one last thing, I'm going to ask you to go back to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 12. And we see here a group of followers of the Lord Jesus. This is going to take place after the church, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior, who are alive now before the church is caught up, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. After that event, when the church is caught up, there will be those who have not heard of the Lord Jesus and of salvation. They've never had the gospel presented, and they'll have an opportunity then to hear the gospel, and in very, very, very difficult circumstances where their lives will likely be taken if they trust Christ as Savior. There are going to be those who will do that, and most of them will lose their lives. They will shed their own blood. Their blood will be taken from them. But we find here words concerning them. Down as we go to verse 10 of Revelation 12. And John, who is writing here again by the Spirit of God, says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil, that's Satan, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. It's not just them He's accusing, by the way, or will be, it's us. See, He knows our sin too. He doesn't know it like God knows it, and He doesn't even know it like we know it, but He knows it. And He accuses us, that sinner. They can't come to you. They can't be accepted by you, He says to God. He's accusing the believers. But we read in verse 11 about the victory and about how the blood of the Lord Jesus is so powerful that it empowers us to overcome the devil. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 that the devil, like a roaring lion, is wandering around even today, and he has countless demons doing his work for him, and he roars like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy a life, destroy a testimony. And we are no match for that kind of enemy. Not in our greatest strength, not in our deepest willpower. We cannot deal with Satan, but by the blood of the Lamb, we too can have that victory. Because greater is He that's in us, John says, than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit of God living within us, God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, He is far more powerful than Satan will ever even imagine to be. Satan said, "I will be as God." That was his cry as an angel in heaven before he fell. "I will be as God." No, he wouldn't. And his rebellion against God cost him his place in heaven, and he's been banished. And he'll spend all eternity once he is cast into the lake of fire, as we read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. He'll be there forever. But the Lord Jesus is the powerful one, and he's the one who lives within us. And he's the one who has purchased for us the armor that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6. We can have victory over the devil. And the devil even now is seeking to use the circumstances of your life to allure you, to draw you away from the Lord Jesus, to draw you away from the Word of God, to cause you to give in to whatever he knows your weakness is. That's his desire right now, when he's going around like a roaring lion and he's looking at every one of us in this room and saying, "I want to take them down. I want to take them down." But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is powerful. And we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, if we're willing to appropriate his blood to us. First of all, for salvation. If you're here this morning, you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You may be very religious and still not right with God. You may read the Bible more than anybody here. You may pray. But if you've never come to God as a sinner and realize that nothing you do can ever earn your way to God, into heaven, if you've got to realize those are dead works. They're filthy rags to God. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all of your sin and from your guilt before God. If you will trust Him, if you will come to Him as the one who died for you and rose again, then you will be saved. He promises to accept you if you will receive Him. If you're here this morning, you know Christ is your Savior. What a privilege to know that the one whom we serve and love, the one who says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you," is His blood that cleanses us and gives us that victory over Satan. When we trust Him, when we allow Him to live through us, then we have that victory. Very quickly, I'll close with a short story. I'll abbreviate it. You may have heard the story. I've heard it a number of times and read it, and someone sent it to me just recently, but I'll just condense it. There was a local church and a woman of very bad character, I'll put it that way, began to come there, and she heard the gospel and she got saved. And her life was changed. And the son of one of the leaders in the local church began to have a romantic interest, and they began to date and they decided to get married. Some people in the church didn't think this was appropriate for one of the leaders of the local church to have his son involved with a woman who had this kind of background. And so the whole church got together and they discussed it, and it went back and forth, and the poor girl was in tears as things were drug up from her past and shared among everybody, and why she wasn't fit to be the wife of this young man. And finally the young man stood up and he said, "You know what?" He said, "What's on trial here is not my fiance and her character. What's on trial here is the ability of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse from all sin." That was the reality, and that was the truth, and that's what broke the hearts of the people when they stopped to think, "You know, look at my life. Look at my heart. God sees me as I really am. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able. It's more powerful than anything I've been able to describe." And I encourage you, as you go through the Word of God, don't overlook the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning in your Word. Father, we thank you that the Scripture is truly stained with the blood of your Son. It's precious to you. You've given your Son. Father, if it weren't for your Son, we would have no reason to be here this morning. But because of him, Father, we are joyful in coming together to praise him and to worship you. Father, I pray for any who may be here this morning that have never truly received the Lord Jesus. They've never trusted him as Savior. They've never recognized the fact that it's not his good life, his good example, nor surely not their good lives or examples that will ever get them to God, but rather it's because your Son paid the price. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, and your Son has shed his blood willingly. He is the substitute that you have accepted. Father, might they see that. Might they know that he rose again and that he offers salvation. Might they ask for your forgiveness today. Father, for those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, Father, help our appreciation of his blood to increase. Father, in a day when not much is said, even among Christians, about the blood of the Lord Jesus, we pray that we would appreciate it more because of whose blood it is, because of what it has done for us. Thank you for that power, that wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And we ask in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I'll be outside. I'd love to talk with you if you have any questions.